from the new album Jigsaw Heart. The song is Locomotive. It's from our guest's new album, Eden Brent. It's great to finally get to talk with you. How are you?
Hey, John, I'm doing great. Good to be on the show.
I chose that song, Eden, because on this new album, I think it's a nice representation of what's on the album. It's a little bit blues, it's a little bit country, it's a lot of fun, it's bouncy. This one has kind of a country feel to it. Not even kind of, this is a country album, isn't it?
I thought so. That's why I chose to record it in Nashville rather than Memphis or New Orleans like I've done before. I grew up listening to all kinds of music. My dad was not just a big Bill Brunsey fan. He's always been also a Hank Williams fan and a Marty Robbins fan. There's a lot of different styles that have influenced me because I've listened to a lot of different kind of music and, you know, continued to enjoy all kinds of music. I think I wanted to celebrate a little bit more of the countryside of my influences this go around and stretch a little bit. You know how when you get up in the morning and you feel like stretching a little? That's what I tried to do on this record, stretch a little so I could get ready for the rest of my life and for discovering new things. To do something else than what you're accustomed to makes you a better musician. The Locomotive tune in particular kind of has that drive, sort of like Elvis doing Suspicious Minds or maybe something Johnny Cash might have done. It's a lot of fun to play. In fact, you know, the fellas that I play with are always requesting that one because it'll wake you up.
Yeah. Now, you open the album with a ballad, and sort of a bittersweet breakup song is how I hear that.
Pretty much everything that I do, whether I wrote it or not, pretty much everything that I do is autobiographical. I had a great teacher of literature in high school named Nan Stafford, and when I took creative writing with her, she said, write about what you know. And, you know, I think I probably know myself just about better than anything else.
Yeah.
So it seems easier to do that. I had been in a 15-year relationship as this album was getting recorded. I think the album reflects that situation and the 15 short years leading up to it. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm in a different mindset now, maybe because I put it all down on this album, and now I can enjoy the end of it, unlike, you know, when you're right in the middle of the end of something.
Sure, and Better This Way, even though it's a breakup song, there seems to be there's some fond memories of what happened in those 15 years, it sounds like.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, if you're going to bother to hang around with somebody for a certain large percentage of your life, there's not really too much point in trying to be enemies after it's all said and done. You know, I haven't made too many enemies in my life, but I've certainly had to move on from a few of my favorite people and enjoy them as friends rather than as romantic partners.
I must confess, it wasn't my best, but baby, you know that I tried. I won't lament the years that we spent. There's no use weeping, crying.
Now, right after that song, it was right into a whole lot of fun. Everybody already knows, carefree kind of song, a boogie-woogie. Is this a new relationship you're into, or is this deeper than you want to talk about your personal life right now?
Oh, no, I don't mind. My life's an open book. Well, when you get out of a 15-year relationship, there's that moment of limbo where you're what people call on the rebound. And years ago, I had a friend named Little Bill Wallace, who is dearly departed friend of mine, but a blues guitar player who came up around the time that B.B. King was here in Mississippi at Delta. And in fact, they were buddies and performed together. But Little Bill and I were hanging out one evening, and we were in a club having a cocktail together and visiting. And there was a gentleman there that I kind of had the hots for, and he kind of had the hots for me, but it was not a relationship that the community would have done anything but frown on. And I remember Little Bill looking at, even though I wasn't standing by this fella, the object of my desire, he was way across the room. Little Bill could sense that there was something going on, and he looked down at me and he said, "Baby, you messing up?" And so I live in a small town where people sometimes know as much or more about you than you do yourself. And certainly they'd like to share that information with all the other townsfolk. It's just a fun song, and it's a lot of fun to play. But yes, it does come from true experience.
Everybody's talking blues is all over town. So it ain't no big secret that you and me is messing around. We can try to be a bit more discreet, but it's fair.
Everybody already knows it's our guest, Eden Prince. Well, you mentioned growing up in a small town. You grew up, you still live in Greenville, Mississippi. Can you talk just a little bit about your relationship with A.B. Boogaloo Ames?
Sure, love to. Boogaloo was a fixture here in the Delta, enjoyed quite a successful career from the 1940s through the middle 60s in Detroit, Michigan. First as a jazz piano player and a swing piano player with his own band in the 40s, and then up until the 60s, did some work up until the mid-60s with Berry Gordy at the Motown Studios. Boogaloo had enjoyed a celebrated career, and just fortunate for me, he fell in love with a woman who had ties to Mississippi, so he followed her down here when her mother got sick. I didn't meet Boogaloo until probably maybe 1980 or so. At that time, I was just a middle teenager. It kind of never occurred to me that he would want to work with me because he was so much older than I was, and I didn't figure he'd want to be hanging around with a little punk like me. But after a few years of going to hear him play and becoming more and more friendly with him, I was pretty much like his number one groupie. After I'd spent a little bit of time around him and heard him play a lot, I finally asked him if he'd teach me, and then that relationship finally parlayed into a performing duo. And toward the end of his life, I sort of operated as an adopted granddaughter or something. But he's the one who taught me how to play. I sound more like him than anybody else in particular. Certainly the boogie-woogie and blues stuff that I do would be colored with Boogaloo all over it. So he's the one who gave me my sound and the person that I thanked my lucky stars for when I won the Pine Top Perkins Piano Player of the Year Award. Because I never would have, that was really his award. I just was there to accept it for him since he had already gone to heaven by then.
As far as two eyes can see. for surely will wait on Mississippi number one. Number one.